to agenda item 12, miscellaneous and meeting debrief. Commissioner Thorburn, did you have a comment on Willapa?
No, I have a meeting debrief.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and start it off then, please.
Okay. It's a couple of items from testimony that we heard yesterday. One testifier mentioned that the department has applied to be a member of the Conservation District Commission. Currently, we attend those meetings as advisors. The comment, I think, was asking us to rethink that. I have to say, when I saw, even before the testimony, that the department had made that application, I was concerned. And it relates to a lot of what we were discussing yesterday around the strategic plan and the issue of trust here in Eastern Washington. I think that we need to build on our relationships with the conservation districts and work on trust. And it seems to me that that application can be perceived as fairly threatening and does not help the situation. I think the timing is unfortunate, given all that we've gone through to prepare the strategic plan, and I would ask that that be reconsidered. We do, on the ground, have incredible relationships with the conservation districts. I can't tell you how much the Lincoln County Conservation District has contributed to the Swanson Lake Wildlife Area's activities. And those are staff relationships. As I've mentioned, we have staff that live in those communities that work with the wildlife areas and our private lands biologists, and they have those kinds of relationships. I think it would be really helpful if we continue to try to expand those and understand those before we change our relationship with the Conservation District Commission. I have one other thought. As was mentioned, I sat in a little bit on the WAG. I wasn't there for the entire time. I have a little bit different perspective than I think Commissioners Linville and Baker have. It's just constant rehashing of the same thing. And I don't see consensus in that group. When I when I was head of the health district, we had a management approach of trying to achieve consensus, whether it was a community advisory group or whether it was my executive management team. But realizing that consensus doesn't always work and it can be somewhat oppressive, we said, okay, at some point a decision has to be made, and we decided on another decision-making technique. And I've been to a number of WAG meetings, and it just seems like it's constant rehashing and not a lot of consensus to me. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. We have three commissioners with hands up. I'll take them in the order they went up. Commissioner Linville, then Commissioner Kehoe, and then Commissioner McIsaac, please.
This isn't exactly debrief, but I'm going to say it anyway, because yesterday wore me out, and I want to, I just want to have a little positivity at the end of this meeting, maybe for my own sake. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to Mike Livingston, who is partial acting director of Region 2 right now. And he was asking me what I thought we needed for good shrub step recovery in these arid lands. And I said, well, you know, based on my experience at U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the only time we got really, really, really good regen from seeding was when we could get the seed down the day before a big snow and then have the snow sit on it. Because our problem here is that the wind often blows the seed away, and that seed to soil contact is literally everything out here for getting good regeneration. And I jokingly said, but then what that means is you need aircraft, seed, and staff just standing by waiting for the day before a snowstorm, and nobody can do that. And I just want to go on record that on Swanson Lake 2 days ago, they were managed to aerial seed 932 acres of the Swanson Lake National Wildlife Area. And the very next day, they have a couple of feet of snow. And it's literally the perfect conditions and the perfect situation. And I just love that there's a little, that feels like a spark of hope to me. And I just wanted to call that out and just, yeah, we just need some, a little bit of hope. And that felt like hope to me. So I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Good story, Commissioner Lindvall. Thank you. Commissioner Kehoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My follow-up or debrief is relates to the Habitat Committee and the kelp presentation that we received with Northwest Straits, you know, kind of a collaboration with WDFW and Northwest Straits. I found it very interesting. I found it very disturbing in terms of, you know, our kelp population and eelgrass and how important it is, habitat. You know, the conversation was, is that it's complex. I mean, the bottom line is that historically we've lost a tremendous amount of kelp and other similar vegetation. And then we had the discussion about, well, what can we do about it? You know, it's very complex. It's there's a lot that we don't know about why we're seeing this decrease. But it just seems to me that we need to do all that we can to preserve what we have. And there were a lot of questions about, the state's regulatory authority. Maybe we need more regulations. So my ask, this is not a blue sheet at this point, but I would ask that the most appropriate staff person, do a little bit of research about maybe gaps, and maybe the Attorney General can help as well, about gaps where we have in terms of our ability to regulate harvest, regulate taking, and maybe have that person report back to me, and then we can determine whether to move forward with a blue sheet. So that's my debrief and request.
Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe. Before I go to you, Commissioner McIsaac, I think Commissioner Smith, chair of the Habitat Committee, wants to do a follow-up. Am I correct, Brad?
Right, yeah. Thanks, Larry.
You bet.
I'm unmuted there. I agree. I was going to raise that. Thanks, Pat, for bringing those points up. And I would just add one other thing. And again, this is not a blue sheet, but I was informed, but I didn't know that you could take 10 pounds a day with a shellfish license. And I'm curious, again, in terms of the data, what volume do we know how much we are that the people are harvesting if you can take 10 pounds a day. I've never seen anybody do that, but I would just add that missing piece to what Bob said on his list of things that would help us become more informed.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. I've got a bunch of hands up, but before we go to first McIsaac, then Graybill, and then Commissioner Anderson, I see our Attorney General representative has got his face on the screen.
Nothing to add, just turning on my camera in case people had additional questions on the legal aspect of those shellfish regulations, which I did brief the members of the Habitat Committee on after that meeting.
Okay, well, you look very dapper today, Joe. Thank you. Commissioner McIsaac, then Commissioner Graybill, and then Commissioner Anderson, please.
Can I just add one last thing?
Sure.
Sorry,
go ahead,
Mr.
Bob.
Chairman, but I think it would be, it could be that we need RCW change as well. And so, to enhance what we already have, I know that's, but certainly, if there is legislation that the commission could support and put as one of our legislative ask, that would be part of it too. Obviously too late for this session, but I just want to throw that in the mix as well.
I'll just make one brief comment for someone that spent almost 70 years up in the North End in the San Juan Islands. I can tell you categorically that the loss of eelgrass and a variety of kelps has contributed to a huge drop-off in forage fish abundances throughout the San Juan Islands, which used to be very, very robust with forage fish. Not that way anymore. Commissioner McIsaac first.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, if I could just jump in and clear my comment. I think the...
Okay.
If that would be all right.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim, please.
The issue around kelp isn't necessarily around harvest. And I think maybe I'm missing some in the conversation. I've had some technology issues, but it's oftentimes habitat. And that's not to say that then harvest can't be a factor in those situations, but I think we need to keep our eye on that bigger picture. And unfortunately, in some ways, it may be associated with, ocean conditions and chemistry and that kind of thing. So the rush, if there's a rush to look at, regulations associated with the harvest might be shooting at the wrong target. So that's my comment.
If I might respond, I mean, your point is well taken, Jim. I think the problem, though, is that there is a lot of uncertainty as far as why we are seeing this decline. And so, my point is that if there's a way that we can keep what we have, then I think we should explore that kind of dual track. So that would be my response. But your comments are well taken.
Yeah, and I'll second that. My point about the harvest was to be better educated, because it's just an area that I don't know how much is, and I'm just curious.
I think in the spirit of moving on from this, I think the commission certainly suggests that we take a deeper dive into this issue and fully support that. And I guess we'll have to find out who Bob on staff is the go-to person, and let's get going on this. I believe that's what we're saying. Okay, Commissioner McIsaac, then Commissioner Graybill, and then Vice Chair Baker. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am off on another subject, so if Commissioner Graybill or Vice Chair Baker are on kelp, I'm fine with letting them go forward first, if they are.
Is that the case of either Commissioner Graybill or Vice Chair Baker?
Thanks, Chair Carpenter. I've been trying to be quiet today, but I just wanted to follow up on kelp and then let Commissioner Thorburn know that I'd like to talk to her more about the WAG comment, but not now. This isn't that's a big old long conversation.
But on kelp, and as it relates a little bit to the blue sheet process and the fact that the people are constantly bringing us these really interesting problems that a lot of other people are working on, and in the spirit of partnership, I'd like to suggest first off that if there is interest, we do a blue sheet and have a real presentation and ask staff to invest some time. But as a preliminary to that, instead of us kind of being intrigued and pondering questions and thinking about good objectives, why don't we just ask somebody in our staff to talk to the extremely knowledgeable people that presented us to us yesterday and ask them in terms of what they think we could do and how we could partner with them to improve the situation for maybe both kelp and eelgrass. I'd like to know that. I'd like to, before we start a whole process on our own, I'd like to know kind of the conclusion of what they were saying to us yesterday, which is like, what can we do to help you? And hear the answer to that question before we expend a bunch of staff resources starting down that road. It happens to us all the time. I'm still all excited about pound nets. You know, I mean, we get these different people coming in telling us what they're doing and we get excited about it. And then we get another set. I want to start establishing some really good partnerships with some of these people that our staff invite us to listen to. So that's my comment.
Good comments, Vice Chair Baker. Commissioner Graybill, did you want to talk about kelp or something else?
That's something else.
Okay, we'll go to Don first, to Commissioner McIsaac, and then to Commissioner Graybill, please.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two matters. One is a very quick update on the status of this Columbia River policy decision document. And the other one is the matter of rescheduling the hatchery policy C-3619 considerations. So first on the Columbia policy decision document, this document presenting the rationale for the majority decisions at the September commission meeting has just a couple more areas of staff input and verification to be done. The Columbia River Work Group commissioners have had a look at this, and I hope by the middle of next week, all the commissioners we'll be able to see this and hopefully be able to be posted on the website and distributed next week. On the matter of rescheduling the policy 3619 business that was canceled from this meeting, I'd like to make a motion. And so, Nikki, I'm going to try to put this in writing here and share it on my screen.
Please do.
So is this something that people can see?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'd like to move that the commission continue with the policy C-3619 review process by noticing the public of a Fish Committee webinar meeting for November 3rd and a single issue commission webinar meeting for November 5th. And if I get a second, I'd like to speak to it.
Kehoe seconds.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of the commission meeting that would happen on this is a single issue commission meeting webinar would be the same as noticed for this meeting, and that would be to consider language revisions to the August 1st public review draft in response to the public comment that we've received, including the extended public comment period through October 12th. The writing work group that's been working on this should work the week of next week, October 26th to the 30th, to prepare a draft revised language that is responsive to this public comment. And any work group revisions should be made available to the public at the time of the Fish Committee meeting. The Fish Committee should consider a recommendation to the commission on any language revisions to the August 1st public review draft. The Fish Committee may consider testimony at the Fish Committee meeting at the discretion of the chair, as has been our common practice. The commission meeting agenda is to include a public testimony period, as would have been the case if held originally scheduled at this meeting today, actually. These fish committee and commission meetings would be held unless there is a majority of the full commission that is in favor of rescheduling. And as a reminder of the remaining schedule as described on the commission website, any changes adopted by the commission to the August 1st public review draft would be posted on the commission website for public review prior to the December commission meeting. The most current draft of revisions to the policy 3619 would be distributed to tribal co-managers in advance of a mid-November meeting with them, where we are asking for their policy level perspectives, and their perspectives that would be expressed would be presented to the full commission at the December meeting. A final decision is scheduled to occur at the December 3-5 commission meeting, and the commission would take public testimony at that meeting prior to making a final decision. Those are the things that are already on our website. And I would just say, in terms of getting very specific as to dates, which is always a little bit of a problem, I think we do need to have some certainty that these would occur. I would hope that the director and staff could take a look at these dates and let us know. I mean, a day or two either side of this might be just fine, but I do think very strongly that we have to get back on schedule so that we're able to stay with the mid-November, I think November 17th, tentative meeting with the co-managers, where they're anticipating what the commission is thinking about in terms of any changes to that August 1st draft. And that concludes my comments.
Any questions from the commission? I guess, Don, I raised this concern yesterday when we had the lunch discussion. I am a little bit concerned about the timing. I mean, it is important. I'm not arguing that. I just want to make sure we have enough time to get it right and we don't have any more speed bumps. And I guess I'd like to know, before I call for the question from staff, Director Susan or Ron, if this can match up with their staff to meet this timeline, and so we don't create any additional impediments for ourselves.
Chair Carpenter, I also have my hand raised.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Would you like to go first before staff, Barbara?
I think so, because my objection to this motion isn't based on the merits of the motion. It's based on commission policy and procedure, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
I was on the phone call yesterday as well with Commissioner McIsaac, and I heard Commissioner McIsaac and Chair Carpenter talk about timing and how important it is that we stay on schedule with hatcheries and just how much we all agreed with that and that we were going to strive for that. So what I expected today was for Commissioner McIsaac to restate that conversation and, you know, have everybody agree to that. Yep, that's what we're going to do. This is different. This is a surprise motion, which we have all agreed that we aren't going to do, which diminishes the authority of the chair of the commission, which is not a good idea. Maybe this isn't a big deal, and maybe this is something we all agree to, but our rules and procedures are real clear about who sets agendas and who gets to mess around with them. And it's not a consensus, it's not a democratic thing. There are reasons that this needs to happen in times that we don't all agree, like we do on this one. So I think this sets a dangerous precedent. I think we should vote no, and I think we should talk about it in some workshop, but that's just my feelings. I feel the process of this is wrong.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Staff, Kelly or Ron, any comments?
So, Chair Carpenter, this is Kelly. We'll obviously await the outcome of the direction we receive from the commission. I do not know specifically the availability of staff on these dates, but we have said before, we will do our best to accommodate a speedy getting us back on the track as efficiently and quickly as we can. I remain committed to that, but I can't really say as to the specifics of individual schedules. Ron may have more info.
Director, I do not. I was going to say something very similar.
Well, I'd like to say on the call that Don asked for yesterday at lunch, I was very, very clear that I agreed conceptually with what he was proposing. And I made it clear that we need to keep everyone on the commission posted. And I said, quote, firm dates could backfire. I think we need to have a little bit of flexibility here. And I don't agree with bringing up a motion to that effect today. So I frankly, I hate to, but I oppose it because I don't like the style of this.
This is Jim Anderson. Can I jump in?
Commissioner Anderson, please.
Yes, again, dealing with technology issues here, but my concern is that this gets delayed and I'm intuitively supportive of really firm direction continuing to go forward. And so in that regard, the substance of the motion is really important to me. And I just am concerned that if we don't tie this down in a real way, then there's going to be a continued is not quite the right word, but there will be a slippage that will affect our outcome, our process. And so my initial reaction is to support the motion. I understand what Vice Chair Baker is saying with regard to the process and the need to maintain our procedures, but I guess I need some assurance that that we're really going to have these dates stick, or else we're going to have real issues dealing with this specifically when we have, if we slip date with the tribes and slip the dates, because we've already slipped these dates. So.
Before I go to the commissioners, I appreciate that, Commissioner Anderson. But what I said yesterday, and I stand by it, is I wanted to give staff a few days to see that they can bring the people together that we need to get this done right. And so the rush to judgment on this was bothersome to me then, and it is now, and I probably said enough. So Commissioner Kehoe, and I guess there's some other hands up. I think Commissioner Linville and Commissioner Graybill. So Commissioner Kehoe first, and then Ron, did you want to say something yet or no? Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do support the motion. And for a lot of the reasons that Commissioner Anderson brought up. This process that we're going through for this policy review has had, in my opinion, and I'll be quite frank, a lot of missteps based on the commission's actions and staff actions. And it's too important to, we need to be smarter. and I think this motion and my support of it comes out of my frustration with how the events of the last few days came down. And so I'm not just going to sit here and just let you know, the forces dictate how this comes out. As a commissioner, I have an obligation and a duty to represent the constituents, all constituents of the state that know how important this hatchery policy is, and our tribal co-managers. And I just can't just sit back and just say, well, we're going to do the best that we can, because that has not worked. And I'm not, you know, blaming anybody, but the fact of the matter is, and again, you know, this kind of, you know, in my role at work as an executive director, the buck stops with me, and the buck stops here with the commission. And so we need to give firm direction about the commission's intent to proceed and get this back on track. So, so you know, I apologize for the harsh words, but I've had a lot of heartburn and frustration in the last week and how all this came down. And it kind of builds on prior missteps that the commission has had and department staff in implementing this. So anyway, those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe. Commissioner Linville.
My inclination was to support the motion, but I have some pretty big concerns that I, as a new commissioner, don't understand the implications of what Vice Chair Baker brought forward. She's always really skookum on the policy end of things and procedural end of things. And so if somebody wants to, I wanted to support the motion for many of the same reasons that Commissioner Anderson spoke to. And so I guess if somebody wants to kind of delve into more of what Vice Chair Baker talked about, so I could feel more comfortable around that. I don't know if that's appropriate. If not, I might have to recuse myself from the vote because I don't feel like I understand exactly what those implications are.
Well, I see Commissioner McIsaac first and then Vice Chair Baker.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think maybe we're really a lot closer on this than it seems to be at the moment. What I'm really after here is some real strong certainty that this is going to happen. And as I mentioned, a day or two slippage one way or the other is for staff availability fine. I'd hope that they'd have the ability to look at their computers now and see whether they have some major events that could prohibit this from going forward. But the intent is to just get some certainty on this. There are many, many reasons that are already on the record, and I'm not going to go into all of them about why it's important for us to stay on schedule. And I think everybody's in agreement with that. So the matter of whether or not we do that by a consensus statement or a motion, I think the real intent here is let's have some strong certainty that we will get to these things that week of November 2nd to the 6th in terms of a public process. That gives next week for the writing group to get all their draft revisions out for everybody to see. And in terms of how this might threaten the long-term procedures that are in the document that is the commission procedures, my intent was not to challenge that at this moment. My intent was to get some strong certainty that we wouldn't all of a sudden find out that these dates didn't work and it's going to have to slide. Another purpose is to get the strong certainty for the public. I mean, this is only a week after next. And so if the public is going to be aware of this coming, when are they going to find out if we don't put some certainty to it right now? Now, I know our procedures say that the chairman has the ability to determine the agenda items. And I've always presumed that that's there so that if the commission agrees to an agenda that's forthcoming and there's some sort of an emergency that is proper that the commission not to deal with a particular thing, that the chairman makes the appropriate decision to not go forward with that. But the purpose of that was not to allow the chairman to exercise something contrary to the will of the commission. Mr. Chairman, I don't expect that you are doing that or would do that or have done that. And I just am after some very strong certainty so that this does get back on track and the public knows it's coming and we can continue with the process that everybody agreed to at our September commission meeting. So I'm not out to try to make any sort of a move on our policies by doing this. I just would like the certainty of it.
Vice Chair Baker, please.
I guess it's pretty, I guess I have kind of a reputation for dealing with process. And what is important in this one is that when processes that have the point of us working together and being as civil as we can and working through issues to the extent that we can, and then possibly voting against each other if we can't, that's the reason that our roles and responsibilities have been developed. It's also the reason that we've talked about them and agreed to them. The erosion of those processes happens first, usually, when everybody agrees with the outcome. And that's what's happening here. We do all agree, Don. I think we've all said that we need to move this along. And the people that you're talking to have all supported hatchery reform in the past. And I hope that we can continue to do so. There was as somebody called it, a hiccup. That hiccup was to make sure that we all knew what we were talking about. There was no hostile intent there. So Don, if it's accurate that, so I don't wanna erode that. Civility is important to me. I don't wanna set a precedent for surprise motions. I think we should talk to each other. I think we should respect our chair. So if everything I'm saying and everything that you're saying is accurate, which I agree with and believe, because you and I came in together and we've all talked about this for years now, then the appropriate response at this time is to withdraw your motion and have this very strong sentiment of consensus amongst us that we will stay as close as we can on the track that you are suggesting, and if there's any hiccups, you'll be the first to know.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could respond again, I'm not trying to lead a rebellion or anything. If we are in the same agreement, I'd be willing to withdraw this, but I would like the certainty that this is going to occur and that the public should know the certainty about it occurring too. So if it's a matter of the staff making sure that these two dates can work and we could hear from the director by Monday that there's no problem with that and that the staff is fine with that, I think that's what we've all talked about, then I'd be glad to withdraw this. But I think we just need to have, as I said, the certainty that there isn't going to be anything absent an unforeseen emergency. We always have to protect ourselves against that. And in terms of the chair's relationship and agenda setting, that's a matter of our procedures that's up for a workshop discussion later. I did not intend to challenge that by this motion. So I would ask the second.
I agree to withdraw
that. Okay. And if it's understood by everybody that we would hear from the director by Monday on whether or not there's something wrong with this that warrants its delay, and if not, that public notice would go out, then if that's if there's someone who does not agree with that, I'd ask them to speak now. And if that's the case, I'll withdraw the motion.
But Don, let me just say, I agree with moving forward on this and the need to do that. And I appreciate moving forward to withdraw the motion. I will give 100% best effort to meet the timelines as have been laid out. And we do have one gentleman with his hand up, Commissioner Graybill. And then, Kelly, would you like to speak after Commissioner?
Yes, please.
Okay. Commissioner Graybill, and then we'll go to the director, please.
First of all, Thank you for Barbara for bringing up your concerns. I think they're appropriate. 11th hour motions are something I am not comfortable with. And as Commissioner Linville said, she just doesn't understand. It puts us in an awkward position when we get something like this very late in the game. I appreciate Commissioner McIsaac's willingness to remove the motion. I believe he has a sense from the commission. All of the commissioners agree that we need to move ahead on a timely basis, and we want to work with those dates, but we object to this being forced on us in the form of a motion at the very end of a meeting. So I agree with Commissioner Baker on that this is inappropriate. I will support these dates, even though November 5th is my birthday, Dawn. I will plan to be part of the meeting. Typically, I do other things, but I'm willing to attend just to keep the ball rolling.
Well, Dave, we'll get Amy to send you some more sourdough starter. Director, please.
You only turned 50 once, Dave.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I would just wrap it up by saying the will of the commission is abundantly clear. My commitment to comply with that will remains that we will do everything we can to get it back on track. We will report back on Monday with specifics. I would add a little latitude. What I heard was the week of November 2nd through the 6th, however we make those meetings fit, we will work on optimizing that, report back to you on Monday, and we are committed to getting this thing back on track as desired by the commission.
Thank you, Director. Any questions of the director? Hearing none. Okay, are there any other miscellaneous and meeting debrief?
Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner Graba, please.
Following up with Commissioner Linville's good news to end the meeting. If you recall, in June, we had a presentation by the Yakima tribe that described their activities over here in this region. On October 1st, we opened a coho season here in Leavenworth on the Icicle River. And this is just an example of what can happen with the cooperation of the tribes and us. And the little Icicle River here is chock full of coho salmon. And I went down last Monday, and actually, honest to gosh, I've got pictures. I had caught one, and it was surprisingly strong and healthy, and it was absolutely delicious. And so, I mean, it's so popular. Almost, I can imagine that this stream is on the west side of the mountains. There's so many people lining the banks to get that fish. Yeah. There's some good news. Thanks to the Yakima tribe and the department and developing a brand new fishery. When others are of concern, we've got a great new fishery right here in my backyard.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Commissioner Anderson, I see you're sitting up straight. Did you want to have any closing comments before I move to adjournment?
No, I just want you to know I finally got my technology going.
Good timing.
Yeah. Well, any other comments from any commissioners? Hearing none, I move that we adjourn the meeting of the Fish and Wildlife Commission at 10:23 on Saturday, October 24, 2020. Safe travels. Be safe. Talk soon.
Nice job.